upstairs to be in the Edge Youth Ministries. Our children are upstairs as well for children's Treehouse Kids. And God bless all the youth, the workers, the volunteers with them as well. They had a great time on Friday night for their event, I know. I'm on a brand new series on the front of your bulletin there. It has a picture of an anchor living in stability. Because I really sense again that there's many things that's happening around us to try to break down the stability of God's people, of what God stands for, what His Word stands for. We're seeing even churches across our nation and many nations of the earth as well going through unstable times where people are wondering, when is God going to break forth and God going to do some things that's been prophesied and talked about in times past? Because God is faithful, He wants us also to be like He is. We're made in His image, His likeness. So God wants us also to be faithful. Amen? And so we're going to define this morning here what faithfulness actually is, give examples of faithfulness, and show you from God's Word how God really is faithful to us. We're entering into a very, very strong prophetic time as far as the media is concerned, as far as the Bible's concerned. I don't have all the details in my own mind or heart yet about this thing called the Shemitah that begins, I believe, next month of September and lasts for 12 months. But throughout history, according to some prophets on TV, there's been some things that break loose that are very, very significant in sometimes negative ways upon nations, upon the world scene. Then, of course, the fourth blood moon is also hitting here, I think, in October or so. And because of these things coming together here, they have potential to bring instability even in something like that in two different ways. One way is if something bad does break forth, if something bad does happen upon the earth because of these things happening on the signs around us, that will cause many folks to say, well, if God is so good, why is all these bad things happening on the earth? And the other side of the coin is if nothing happens whatsoever, like the Y2K scare of several years ago, when all of us were storing up beans and storing up 5-gallon jugs of water and putting up shelters in our back with shotguns and bullets because Y2K might be a great war breakout upon the whole face of the earth here, and we're all starving to death. And how many folks know that Y2K kind of came and kind of went, and nothing really changed at all as far as the history of the world was concerned? And so some folks are going to be saying, well, if nothing happens at all, that must mean all these prophets and people on TV, what do they really know about what God's doing on the face of the earth that also can bring instability in people's lives and hearts? I want to say to you guys again that God changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. No matter what man sees or does not see, what the world around us produces, God still has a master plan for the earth that is intact. And God's plan is that we occupy until He comes, that He will send back His Son, Jesus Christ, in due season, in due time. And the Bible says, in an hour when you think not, that's when the Son of Man will actually come. And so I don't get really caught up myself a lot in all the prophecies around us as far as setting dates or years or months go. I just know the Bible says, in an hour that I don't think, that's when Jesus Christ comes back. But until that day comes, I'm going to occupy until He comes. And God wants all of us that are believers to be those that do things on a regular basis that are consistently helping us remain stable and steadfast until Jesus Christ comes back. Amen? So what does faithful mean? It's hard to write a sentence down with the word faithful in it and it not be a positive sentence, because faithful is a very, very positive word. We're finding fewer and fewer people in our younger generation know what faithfulness really actually even means. Even the word commitment is going by the wayside in many people's minds and hearts, especially younger folks in our own nation and around the world as well. Faithful actually means you can count on it. Faithful means you can count on that. If someone says it, they actually will do it. They actually mean it. And so in your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalm 33, if you have your Bibles with you. We're going to read that in a moment. We see in nature there's faithful things. Praise God that our sun faithfully comes up every morning. Amen. And it faithfully sets every night. And faithfully we see four seasons released that brings forth spring and summer and fall and winter. And because of that, we have harvest time. We have rain time. Thank God for faithfully causing reproduction to take place among all of our plants and animals and fish of the seas. They reproduce and create themselves, multiply upon the face of the earth today like they did 6,000 years back when God made them. But also we have a thing in Yellowstone National Park that's called Old Faithful. It's called Old Faithful because it faithfully erupts every so many minutes. I saw that geyser years and years back in our traveling ministry. We drove through Yellowstone a couple of times on the way to Spokane, Washington. I got to see that geyser firsthand. It's very amazing to see how, like clockwork, the pressure builds up, the geyser blows there. And I'm praying with you guys as well that Old Faithful in Yellowstone National Park is not a super volcano. It's going to blow up one day in our lifetimes. But I do know there's faithful things happening in nature upon the earth. Also, even your cars and things you own can be also faithful things. We had a very, very faithful car years ago. It was a 97 Buick LeSabre. We took that car clear to Orlando, Florida. Also, we took it clear on the mountains of the Rocky Mountains in Colorado in the snow. That car faithfully performed, getting great gas mileage, being very comfortable, very good car to drive. And then as time was going by, I began to smell kind of an antifreeze type smell in the cabin of the car. Didn't understand where it was coming from. And just like someone just snapped their finger, that car suddenly died on the halfway between here and Shoreline Christian Center and just totally seized up. We found there was a slow leak in the radiator and the block of the engine, and it finally caused the pistons and so forth just totally seize up, and it ruined the engine. $2,500 to get fixed. The car wasn't worth much more than that, so we sold the car off for scrap. Our kids were totally mortified because our kids were small. They named the car Betsy, and they could not believe that Betsy died on the family and was now gone. That faithful, faithful car took us so many thousands of miles. Now the thing just dies on us automatically in one day. Just could not believe that. Also, we realize people can also be faithful. Amen. Many folks also know that in the animal kingdom, the most faithful animal probably around is called the dog. The dog will love you even when you're bad to it. Even on your bad day, your worst day, when you come back in your house, your dog will wag its tail, stick its tongue out, jump on you and say, I love you unconditionally. No matter what is happening around your life, I am here in a steadfast way to faithfully give my life to you, lay my life down for you. I am your dog. Amen. Dogs are also faithful to do some things in a negative realm, but they do more positive, most of them do, than negative. Amen. How many folks also realize that in our own lives, friends can be faithful? And God's going to give us, I believe, faithful friends to see us through. We again are so proud of our people in our congregation, rallying around people like Ed Starr. Ed Starr and his own wife are having some real up and down times right now as far as health is concerned. People have sent them flowers and cards and been there with meals and snacks and support and phone calls and love. That's again what the body of Christ is all about, to be faithful one to another and love each other in times when the world and life around us is not going so well in many ways. But the highest form in the human nature of faithfulness is probably found in the marriage covenant. Those who find a faithful wife or a faithful husband have found a good thing. Amen? And two folks believe that. Praise God. Yes, you guys, there's marriage counseling available here. We got some phone numbers and calls for you guys as well. But in our culture today, if you find a wife or find a husband who actually can travel 500 miles away on a traveling type job, and that man remains faithful to you year after year after year and doing things like that by himself, miles away, you've got a very, very, it seems like a rarer thing happening in your life and your marriage. Those who have wives who sometimes work in workplaces there and go through times where there's temptations all around them as well, if they remain faithful over 10, 20, 30, 40 years of marriage, you found a very, very rare, it seems like, a very, very honorable thing to have in your life as well. Praise God for faithful husbands, faithful wives who have been there for us in decades of marriage, and they still love us as much today or more than they loved us a long time ago. Amen? Praise God for good, faithful spouses in our lives. In the Bible also says not just nature, not just animals, not just things around us, not just even our own spouse and our own friends, but also the Bible says the good news is God is faithful. And the good news also is God never changes. If God is faithful back then, God is faithful today. God will be faithful forever and ever and evermore. Whatever God says, it will come to pass because God is faithful. Amen. Look now at Psalm 23, verse 4. The New American Standard uses the word faithful in this, and it says, for the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. If I'd read that verse to you here and left the word faithfulness out, all of his work is done in blank. You might not have used that word yourself, faithfulness, in your own mind. You might have said, all of God's work is done in glory, or all of God's work is done by his wisdom, or all of God's work is done in his love, his compassion, his mercy. But God chose this word on purpose to say, all of my work is done in faithfulness. That means whatever God's done around us, it actually has in that the ingredient of his faithfulness in that work. Marriage, creation, eternity, the life to come, our bodies, all these things speak of God's faithfulness again and again and again. Praise God that God put a heart, a muscle in our chest that's called the heart that is faithfully beating every single minute, keeping us alive. Amen. Praise God for faithful lungs that breathe in and breathe out. Breathe out the carbon dioxide, breathe in the oxygen there, and keep us alive. I praise God for faithful veins, faithful blood, faithful rejuvenation inside of my body. God shows his faithfulness to us in every triune part of our nature because God is faithful. And God made us in his image, his likeness, and praise God for that also as well. The truth is, God's looking for people also that are faithful upon the face of the earth. The question of religion asks us, do you believe in God? Whereas the real question the Bible asks is, do you still believe in God? Religion says, do you believe in God? Prove it. What the Bible says is, do you still believe in God? Even though there's bad things happening around us, even though pressures take place in your life, even though you sense sometimes dryness or not even hearing God's voice on a regular basis, do you still believe in the God that saved you perhaps decades ago? Do you still believe in that God and still love him and still serve him and have a zeal in your heart also even towards him? God is looking for people who have tasted defeats and disappointments, yet they're still saying, I believe in you, God, and I change not in my heart, I change not in my life, I still believe in you. When an atheist debates a Christian, time and time again, those debates take place in scenarios all over our country every single year. The atheist always brings out their main argument, and that is, if God is loving and God is powerful, why is there evil upon the earth? Because if God's loving and God is all powerful, there should not be any evil around us on the earth. The Christians always come back with their argument, and they almost always come down to the thesis and the belief that says, the world and universe are too complex for there not to be a creator. There must be a creator because there's too many complex things in our bodies, in our nation, in our world, and in creation, and in the universe as well. It's just too complex for not to be a divine designer that made all these things. The final argument that wins, that says God is alive and God is real, is believers who've gone through rough times, desert times, reversal times, and they still believe in God. That's the final proof that God's alive and God's real and God exists. And there are millions times millions of believers like that today throughout the entire world. They've gone through rough times. They've gone through backward times. They've gone through sickness and diseases. Yet they're still saying, I still know my Redeemer lives. God is alive and nothing will convince me otherwise because I've seen him work too much in my life. I know him, I feel him, I hear him, I draw near to him, he draws near to me. I know my God, my Redeemer, he lives and he is alive, and I still believe. In John chapter 11, the story goes out there of Jesus Christ coming to the tomb of Lazarus. The Bible says there that Martha runs out to meet Jesus. And Martha says to Christ, that if you had just been here for my brother, he would not have died. What was she saying? She was saying there, if you had just been a faithful friend and a faithful Savior, you would have done your job and been here on time, and my brother would not have died. But of course, you weren't faithful. You weren't here on time. He is dead, been dead for 4 days now. So what kind of a Savior really are you? What she was saying to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ answers her back in John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. And you're going to see here, this is normally how God answers people who sometimes make some desperate statements to him in times of despair in their lives. Notice what Jesus says back to her. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He did not say, I'm going to raise your brother from the dead. I'm going to go to that tomb right now and roll that stone away and call him forth. He says, don't think on temporal things only. Think on eternal things, because I am the resurrection. I am the life. Though you may die, you shall live forevermore in heaven. And then it says, Jesus, of course, wept. Jesus had compassion. We all know the story that Jesus Christ did shout forth, Lazarus, come forth. He did heal the man. The stone was rolled away, and all the grave clothes on him were taken off of him. And praise God, God did a miracle that day through Jesus Christ that we talk about today, 2,000 years later. What Jesus Christ is saying is, don't always look at the temporal things around you as whether God lives or God does not live, or God is faithful or God is unfaithful. God is always faithful. And God will always bring forth the results that God wants to bring forth. For those who call upon the name of the Lord, he can do that. Believing in God is one thing. Still believing in God is totally something else. And that's what God wants now in a life, in a world of instability, to become stable believers of God. Can you still be believing in God when sometimes all hell may break loose on this earth in the next 10, 15, 20 years ahead of us? Can you still believe God loves you, God cares about you, God has our best interests in mind, and God has a final say upon the face of the earth? Can you believe that? Because it's the truth. And God does have the final say, and Satan is already defeated there, and God will prove himself strong, mighty, and powerful no matter what the world around us faces in the years ahead. God may have asked Martha here, Martha, I hear about the grave clothes, the 4 days of death, the stone around the tomb. I hear about the sickness, the disease, the way he died. But I'm asking you, Martha, do you still believe in me? The same thing may have been what God asked Daniel. When Daniel's down there in the lion's den, facing death perhaps, was he asking Daniel, Daniel, now that lions are all around you and you face a potential death sentence, do you still believe in me? He might have gone to David years later and asked David, now that you see that Saul's attacking you, you're living in caves, running from place to place to place, man trying to take your life and kill you, do you still believe in me, O man after God's own heart? He might have gone to Esther in Esther's time of crisis, and Esther saw her own uncle of prestige named Mordecai on the outside of the gates there, as a man who was full of refuge and a man who was full of disdain and being mocked by the person whose name was Haman. You might have said to Esther, now that you find your whole nation is facing execution and you see your own prestigious uncle being treated like garbage and like trash out there over the gates every day, do you, Esther, still believe in me? And of course, there also comes a person whose name was Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. Betrothed to get married, find yourself the love of her life, about to go to a wedding she thinks, have lived happily ever after. The angel of the Lord comes down and messes things up and impregnates her. Now she's called a person who's of ill repute, pregnant out of wedlock, facing disdain and shame around her. Her own husband wants to put her away quietly and divorce her. And God comes to her and maybe says in the night, do you still believe in me, Mary, though all these things around you are distorted and going backwards, it seems like, in your life? The truth is, for you and I as well, if we live a long time on this earth, we're going to be facing sometimes some tests and some challenges going to make us say, does God really care about me? Does God really exist? Does God really know my best interests? And is God still working according to his pleasure in my life? And I say yes to all those things, because in due time you will reap if you faint not upon the earth. When everything seems to be lost, we will have questions for God, but the answers back may not be the answers we want God to give us. Many times God answers our questions with questions himself, or statements that make no sense whatsoever until the actual trial goes by us. We say, oh, that's why God said that, and that's why God did it that way, because I guess God really does know best in my life. I want you to write down some things in your notes today, on your bulletins perhaps. These are called take-home points. Let's look at some of the ways that God is faithful to us, to you, and to me. I want to end this service, we do end the service today, on a note that says and reminds us through praise, through worship, God is faithful. I believe that song was sung today on purpose. I didn't ask James and the choir, the music team to sing that song today, but it says, "Your love never fails." And I really sense this week that God is wanting some people in his congregation today to realize to be prepared in the future or even today. If you have any questions that God loves you, God's for you, God is around us, God's with us, may those questions be laid to rest today. Because I'm saying right now, God is faithful. And God will do what he said he will do. And God is even more than we can ask or think or imagine in our lives. As I say those words, you know, sometimes when I'm speaking like this, it's like the Holy Spirit is saying, go, yes, speak that out. That's what I'm saying. And I just hear that kind of an amen, get him, buddy. You guys are kind of quiet, but behind me there's angels and Holy Spirit here that's just excited. They're exploding. They're saying, yes, that's exactly what they need to hear. Go get him, boy. And so I'm just getting that on my back right now. You know, the Bible said that David one time had to take and encourage himself in the Lord. And so I get that sometimes myself, where the Holy Spirit kind of comes on me and encourages me in the Lord that I'm on the right track here. You guys are listening hard, soaking this thing up here. But the main thing is it must become real and believed and then even acted on. Amen. So the first point here, number one, is God is faithful to forgive us. Amen. Tell your neighbor right now, God is faithful to forgive us. Tell your neighbor that. And that's good news, because 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 affirm this and confirm this. And it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Even Christians, believers, pastors, we do sin sometimes. Amen. We do fall short of the glory of God. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and also to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God that God does. He's saying here, no matter what we do, we can count on God forgiving us of any sin we commit upon the face of the earth if it's confessed to God. Now, it does not mean what I did myself. Told the congregation here years ago when I was about a 10-year-old, 11-year-old young, or about a 12-year-old young man, just received Christ as Savior. I thought, man, this is really a good deal. Because I like to sometimes shoplift and get little toys at the stores. I can now steal little toys and then ask God to forgive me, and I've got a free toy and forgiveness both. It's a win-win. Thank you, God. Well, I began doing that for about 2 or 3 weeks, I think after getting saved about 6 months into that. And when I started praying to God to forgive me at church for stealing a toy like that, I'd see a vision every time of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. And I thought, why in the world am I seeing this? I think it's the book of Hebrews says, when we sin willfully on purpose, we re-crucify Jesus Christ anew all over again. And he's saying those sins like that, God does not find pleasure in them, and he will spank us for them. Amen. You will still find that there's still the wages of sin is still death upon the face of the earth. And something always got spanked or died in my life when I'd sin on purpose like that. So God's saying to us, yes, I will forgive any sin you commit, but do not go out there and sin on purpose, knowing I'll forgive you of that sin. Because that sin will bring you a place to the devil that'll bring some bad things into your life, okay? You know, I got a friend here, his name is Ron Brigman, that comes and speaks here about once every year or two. Ron Brigman's a prison minister out of Shoreline. This guy says that there's so many people behind bars right now that have come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. These guys have done heinous things. They've raped, they've murdered sometimes, they've sold drugs to minors, they've been involved in sometimes in incest or child abuse. Yet all these guys say they can't believe the grace of God is so great. When I asked God to forgive me, he did. Jesus Christ came inside my life. I sensed his presence. I wept. I cried. The Holy Spirit came in me. All the sins I'd done, God washed away, and God cleansed me of all unrighteousness. And they can't believe that sometimes. They come to know Christ sometimes in prisons across our country. There is no sin we commit that Jesus Christ did not pay the price for that sin, and it can be forgiven. Amen? So the good news is God is faithful to forgive us of sin. Number two, God also is faithful to keep his promises. How many folks realize the entire Bible is full of hundreds and thousands of promises given by God? The good news is God never lies. Anything God says and God promises is yes and amen. Anything he says, God never lies. God doesn't have any kind of a shadow of turning to his words. What he says, he means. There's no gray areas. It's black, it's white. And God says yes, it's yes. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Let's read this. Deuteronomy 7, 9. Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant. The word covenant means promises. And mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. You know, if I happen to die before Jesus Christ comes back, and praise God, you folks know you guys are going to kill me, I hope. I plan on being here until Jesus Christ does come back. Amen. I've got a lot of longevity in my family. My granddad was 85 years old and smoked cool cigarettes till the day he died. Didn't die of cancer, but died of just natural causes of a heart attack. My grandma was 96 or 93 years old when she died on my other side of the family. So I believe God, I've got great longevity in me. I'm believing God to be ministering in my 80s and even 90s should the Lord tarry. Amen. But if I do die somehow, some way, but not by driving, if I do die somehow, some way, before Christ returns, I'd like myself to be remembered by this verse, this scripture, in Joshua chapter 23, verse 14. You won't want to read this at my funeral if I outlive you. Don't outlive you guys, okay? But I think I will. Moving on. Joshua 23:14 says this: Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. Amen. That's what I want spoken about my life, about your life as well. Whatever God's spoken over you, whatever God's promised you, you're going to see that it never failed. God is faithful. God did what he said he would do. We need to praise God sometimes for the faithfulness of our God, the God who makes promises and the God who keeps promises by his Spirit. Number three, God also is faithful to see that you're never going to be overwhelmed upon the earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says that familiar verse, there is no temptation that has overtaken you except such as is common to man, or even the Son of Man, Jesus. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear that temptation, that you not be overwhelmed upon the earth. That means no matter how many chips get put in people's foreheads, no matter how many antichrists come on the scene, no matter how evil nations become around us, there is no temptation taken us, but God makes a way of escape that we can bear it upon the earth. Amen. Either by grace, by favor, by protection, somehow, some way, even by wisdom, God makes ways of escape to bear every temptation that comes our way upon the face of the earth. If you're working for somebody who just is trying to use you, that person will take and overwork you and work you to the bone many times because they care not about your best interests, they care about their best interests. They'll overwhelm you. They'll overtake you. They'll wear you out. But those who want to develop you and make you into a better person to see your destiny come to pass, those people will make sure they're sensitive there to find balance takes place in your life. That you get days off, you get rest, recreation, you have joy, you have laughter, you have fun things take place on your workplace as well. They care about your well-being, not just about what you can do for them and their gift and your gifting and your work for them as well. That's how God is also for each one of us. God cares about recreation. God cares about exercise. God cares about fun times. God cares about handfuls of blessings on purpose. God's a God of mercy and kindness and balance in your life. And God knows we need strength, renewal, refreshing, and rest and peace to operate effectively in his kingdom on an ongoing basis because God loves us. God is just like that in our lives. You know, in about 1 month, on September the 20th on a Sunday, I'll be speaking with God's help and grace in a place called KwaMashu Christian Center in South Africa in KwaMashu Township. That church was founded by a man whose name is Nicholas M. Zimela. David Sanders put a very, very gracious video together several years back that showed a testimony of Nicholas speaking there about us and what we did there and the work for them in our early 1980s ministry in South Africa as missionaries to that country. When I came to Nicholas and got to know him back in 1985, this guy was bitter. He was angry. His church had shrunk down from 300 people to about 50 people, meeting in a YMCA old beat-up building in the township there called KwaMashu. He'd been betrayed by the people of apartheid, it seems like, in a big mega church who actually sent him out to a church of 5,000 people. They cut off support, cut off help. They'd made promises they did not keep. And so this guy was now had about five other pastors around him. And one of the evangelists there was also trying to do him dirty many times behind the scenes. His whole life was just kind of full of anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, and regrets, it seems like. I come on the scene there. I'm 27 years old. Went behind the ears, a greenhorn in many ways, but I just know that God opened the door for me to minister in this place called the Durban Christian Center as our missions pastor. So I hook up with Nicholas. I say, come on, Nicholas, let's build this church up. Let's do some good things for God. We had teachings every day, every 2 days, about spiritual authority, about faith, about prayer, about the things of God, God's nature, God's character. I finally bought him a car. All his cars were broken down. He was walking everywhere he went to, taking buses everywhere. Bought him a car, bought him a suit. And all of a sudden, as time was going by, Kenneth Copeland brings in tens of thousands of dollars, and we actually find ourselves getting a cinema that had been totally gutted out because of bankruptcy years ago. The KwaMashu Zulu government said, we're going to give you this cinema to use on a free basis, but you must renovate this thing and use this thing, and for 10 years, it'll be yours to use free of charge. Kenneth Copeland's ministry put a roof on the place, put a fence around the place. We brought in paints and boards and lumber and chairs and sound systems there. And little by little, Cheryl's about in the place as well, establishing what's called a creche, a preschool, a children's ministry there. The church starts growing. It starts growing. It starts growing. And now today, they're having their 25th anniversary in about 2 weeks. 2,000 people are in the church. In his parking lot is now Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, Volvos, and Audis, and Corollas, and Mazdas, and beat-up Volkswagens. I'm saying this guy's now got the mayor of the city in his church. He's got lawyers, doctors, engineers, and also people that are common workers as well in the Zulu population. Years have gone by here now, and Nicholas has realized again, God will never let us become so overwhelmed that he will not somehow, some way bring refreshing to us and bring forth handfuls of blessings on purpose in due season for those who faint not upon the earth. I praise God above all else, above the building, above the sound system, above the cars and things and stuff, and people in his church. I praise God that Nicholas now smiles. Nicholas now loves. Nicholas now is like Jesus Christ wants him to be, reaching out to people on the face of the earth as a pastor and apostle of God in a place called KwaMashu, South Africa. We'll see him there in a few weeks as well by faith with that. I want to say again that God will never let us become overwhelmed because God is faithful in our lives. My prayer this morning is, anybody in this room today, if you're feeling overwhelmed, we are here as the body of Christ to love you, to stand with you, and to pray that God intervenes for you by his power, grace, and his spirit. Amen. Last point, number four, is this. Next to last point, number four, is this. God is faithful to stay with us until we reach his destiny for us in this life. God has no plan B for your life. He only has plan A. And God is faithful. He'll stick with you for your destiny every single time. For those who call upon his name, follow him. You may go through some detours, go through some rough patches, go through some real obscure times. But God will make sure he gets you back on the right path in due time and due season, as only God can do. Do you realize that Cheryl and I went to Bible school in Waxahachie, Texas, back in 1980 or 83, 84. I went to South Africa in 85. Got my degree for missions and ministry at Southwestern Assemblies of God Bible School. And we saw God putting what we thought was all things together for our destinies for world time, lifetime missionaries to the Zulus of South Africa. What took place was, for the first time ever, the Assemblies of God said, for the graduates now in 1984, we began a brand new program that says graduates getting involved in missions can now work under other missionaries and not do 2 years of pastoring first, like was required in the past years behind us. Cheryl and I said, praise God, amen, that's us. We find ourselves meeting a missionary from South Africa. This couple said, I like your rock seminar. We saw it here in Durban, South Africa. Go back to America, get your degree, then come back here in the internship program, work under us and work with us. We said, man, God is making things just so easy and so good for us. Praise God for his mercy. We go to a church of 2,000 people, AG Church, in South Austin, or South Dallas. That pastor all but told us, when you leave this church, become missionaries, we'll give a lion's share of your support from this church. It'll be in your laps, guaranteed, when you leave this place. Well, time goes by. We graduate. The missionaries in South Africa all of a sudden resigned the Assemblies of God, went their own independent way, told us we can still work with them. But the Assemblies of God tell us, you cannot work with that couple. They're now independent. You must now go to Uganda and do work there under a total stranger's ministry or forget your entire missions career as far as we're concerned. All of a sudden, God's putting kinks and putting detours in our lives. We prayed about things. God worked things out. We found ourselves still going to South Africa in an independent ministry there. We got on the mission field and thought, well, God is still blessing. God's still going to use us and work in many, many ways. We find out this couple is full of hurts and burns and bruises and a controlling, strong, controlling spirit. And they become like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde on the mission field. We found ourselves being beaten down, being oppressed, being controlled, and going through this all kind of junk on the mission field. I said, God, what in the world is this all about? We sacrificed 2 years of our life to get here, and now we find this happens. Well, in South Africa, we had a friend named Kim Clement, the prophet you might have seen on TV a few times. His home church is Cheryl's home church called Durban Christian Center. This man said, the Holy Spirit tells me you'll be leaving that ministry. And God wants you to become the missions pastors of this church of 5,000 people my uncle runs right now in Durban. So God shut that door and God opened a new door to us. And it was God's grace and God's will to do that. We resigned that ministry anyway before the words even came out like that. And God kept us there for 4 fruitful years of ministry in our lives. What I want to say to you guys is God always makes sure that plan A will come back in focus in your life when detours take place by lack of discernment or sometimes lack of wisdom or sometimes some wrong judgment on your part. God makes up for that as only God can do. Amen? Because in this room right now, I'm sure all you guys can say, I've done some very stupid, some crazy things because of lack of discernment, lack of judgment, or being sometimes impatient. But God brought me back on the right path as God can do by his grace and by his spirit. And through all those ways of working also, God's brought us here today at Tree of Life Church in Pflugerville, Texas, for such a time as this. God is able to take all of our bad decisions, all of our lacks of discernment, and bring all these things into his plan and destiny to be back in our lives, being intact once again. And last of all, number 5, the 5th thing I want to say here is our praise team comes back to the platform to help me out at the close of the service also in a moment. I want to leave time here for us to pray, time for us to have God move here among us. I want to say God is faithful even when we're unfaithful. God is faithful even when we are unfaithful. It says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. Isn't that good news? I can say myself, I've been faithless or unfaithful in my walk with God sometimes. All of us here have been unfaithful in some way, somehow, to God. But the good news is, if we're unfaithful, God remains faithful. Because he cannot deny himself, which means God being faithful cannot become unfaithful because God is what he is. And he changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This last story I want to give before we have a song here to sing this song about the love of God, that God is faithful, His faith is among us. It's a true story of a married man who had a wife who went through midlife crisis. How many folks know women can go through midlife crisis also? And she was in her 40s. She had three kids that were now reaching teenage years and late, almost teenage years. And she broke off at her workplace. She found a man to have an affair with. And was unfaithful to her husband. And had an affair with a workmate. And then one day she was driving home from work and she got involved in a very, very terrible car crash. And she was killed in that crash. She died. Before that crash took place, though, she had gone to bars and gone to places to meet men. She'd take her wedding bands off, put them in the drawer in her nightstand at her house before going out on the town at bars and so forth to pick up some men or meet men. When she died that night after a bar scene situation, the rings were still in the drawer off her fingers at death. During the funeral, this is a true story that takes place here. All of the families there, of course, all the friends, the loved ones are in the place. It's an open casket. They're walking by the casket, viewing the body. And all the friends go about and go across. And, of course, last of all is the immediate family and the pastors there as well. And the very last person there beside the casket, when all the folks have gone and left the building, is the husband next to his wife. And he takes in private, reaches into his pocket and pulls out the wedding bands and slips those on her finger, bare naked fingers, to say, "You've been unfaithful, but I will be faithful. I said till death do us part, and I meant what I said." And so in secret, what he did is what Christ also does for you and I. We might be faithless sometimes, unfaithful, but he is never unfaithful. He is faithful to the end. Amen. Can we sing this song together here? I'm going to come back and the song is finished here and say a few more words and pray a prayer as well. If I can do that, please. Let's take and sing this song. Let's stand to our feet and mean this song. Read what the song says and know that God is a God of love and God is a God who is faithful in our lives.